Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. This is much of history that we see in the church and in the Old Testament. Just this last week, we had a day that almost everybody celebrated in some form or fashion. You remember what that was? Valentine's Day. I don't know if it was a holiday, but it was certainly a day that the world seemed to focus on and that the world took note of. And they were talking about, on Valentine's Day, about love, right? It's about those you love. You send a Valentine, send a thought, send candy because you love somebody. Well, I tell you, I thought of all the things that I should preach on this week, I thought, you know, with that focus, I need to focus on love. And as I prayed and said, God, what am I going to preach about love that I haven't preached about recently? Because I did that. I've been preaching about the love of the brethren for one another, the love of our Lord. And I just thought, you know, God's word came to me and I thought, I need to preach on and share on loving the church. Now, I'm not talking about loving the building. As you look around here, I don't love the wrinkled carpet and I don't love the scars on the floor. And I don't love a lot of things about a building. But I'm going to tell you, I sure love those who gather in it. Amen? So today we're going to talk about loving God's church. Not long ago, somebody sent me an email. And they sent me a little article that was entitled, Satan's Beatitudes. Now, you know about the Beatitudes. You know that the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gave the Beatitudes. Well, somebody said, this is the devil's Beatitudes. And I thought, you know, there is some good teaching here. So somebody sent me this list entitled Satan's Beatitudes, and they went like this. Are you ready? Blessed are they who are too tired and too busy to go to church. Blessed is the member who expects to be invited to his own church. Now, remember, this is the devil's Beatitudes. Blessed are they who gossip, for they cause strife and division. Blessed are they who are easily offended, for they get angry and quit. Blessed are those who do not give to carry out God's work. Blessed are those who profess to love God but hate their brother. Blessed are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the children of the devil. Blessed are the complainers because they stir up business for me. Now, as I thought about these particular Beatitudes, I thought, hey, wait a minute. I was their pastor at one time. I really thought, you know, I thought over the years of folks that seemed to be just really caught up with these particular Beatitudes and thought maybe they were helping the church by being a part of this. But the second thing that I thought of was, you know what? The church desperately needs more members who simply love God and simply love His church the way God loves His church. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I've not found any more in percentage than I have here, and I'm so thankful for the church. The church needs to be loved by its members as God loves the church. Because you see, God loves the church how? He loves the church sacrificially. We know this because He gave His Son for the church. Amen? God loves the church unconditionally. When He's pleased with it and when He's not, He still loves the church. Thank you, God. He loves the church eternally. And He will never stop loving the church. There is a real and deep blessing that comes to every church member who truly loves the church of God. And they love it in the right way, and they love it for the right reason. Today I thought I would share three thoughts from God's Word. And now they're the only three, not by far. I've already had some people come, oh, you forgot one about this. Listen, I wasn't trying to cover them all, otherwise we'd be here till Monday at least. So today what we're going to do is cover three thoughts from God's Word from King David about the church, how we should love God's bride. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? And we're going to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 5. Now, this is King David after he had been told by God that he was not going to be able to build the great temple that he wanted to build. You remember why God said, you will not be the one to build my temple. He said, you have blood on your hands. He said it needs to be someone else who builds this temple. Now, can you imagine being King David, who wanted to do this so badly, who loved the Lord so much, and he wanted to be the one to build this temple? But here we find in 1 Chronicles 29 a response, if you will, to him being told no. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly. Now, what's all the assembly? Everyone in the kingdom that could hear. He said, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance." Now, what is he talking about? He said, these are the things that I've set aside to build this house of God. In verse 3, he says this. He says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver." Now look at this list. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Now you're going, now Pastor, how in the world does this passage share that David loved the church? We're going to talk about that. Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for this record because it showed that David had a great love for you and for your church, and he wanted to be a part of its prospering. Lord, would you help us today to understand the heart of a man who loved you so much. He was willing to lay everything he had down for you, including his life. So, Father, help us as we learn and grow. For Father, your church is a blessed and precious thing. Your bride, Lord, your love. Help us to love you and your bride all the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've had the blessings from, or should we say the beatitudes from Satan. This morning, I want to give you just three little additional beatitudes from the scripture today from David. First of all, the first one is, blessed is the member who gives God's church loving affection. Do you look forward to coming to church? I pray that you do. I pray that when you think about church, you think, oh, I'm getting to go be with God's people. I'm getting to go be with my people. I'm getting to go and share love for the Lord our God together. 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 5, it tells us that David had a desire to prosper God's church, to build God's church, and it was a legitimate desire. He loved God with all of his heart. And it was a noble and an honorable desire, but you remember, God did not want David to build his church. God said, David, you're not going to build it. I'm going to let your son Solomon do it. Now listen, who was king of Israel at that time? David. Was Solomon the king? He was going to be, but David was still king. And listen, I believe that David could have just got mad and upset and said, you know what? You don't want me to build it? Fine, God, I'm out of here. I'll just find somewhere else to go. That sound familiar? David could have said, well, there's nothing in this for me, and he could have just walked away from the church. But instead, David's heart was not to walk away, but to invest in God's work any way that he could. And David gave sacrificially to build God's temple. A temple, dear friends, that he would never step foot in. He would never get to attend services in that church. He wouldn't even live to see it be finished. Now, why did David do that? David did that according to the word of God so that God would be glorified and not David. Amen? He said, let man not be glorified, but God. Notice in verse 1, he said, the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. You know, I want to say here in our church, here at Grace Point, whatever buildings we may build, whatever we put together, they are never to be a monument to the pastor, to a person, or to a group. Amen? They are to be built for God. They're to be built for God's glory, for God's kingdom, and for God's word to be shared. It should never be about a man. Blessed is the member who gives God's church loving affection. The second beatitude for us this morning is blessed is the member who supports God's church. Now, I wish we had time to go in all kinds of detail about exactly what David gave. But somebody sat down and put a pin to the amount of gold and silver and gems and everything that's been listed throughout the Old Testament there. And they came up with an approximate figure. How about this? $20 billion today. Approximately, that's what it would have cost to provide everything that David provided for the temple. $20 billion. Is that impressive? Listen, some of you are going, I can't wrap my head around that. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around 20,000. Not 20,000, but not just 20 million, but 20 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars. But that is not what is so impressive to me. Not what David gave, but why David gave. In verse 3, it says that David gave because he loved God and he loved God's bride. He loved God's church. Can I ask you a question? Do you love God's church? Do you love God's church? Then I want to ask you very gently and very lovingly, but also very firmly, can you truly love God's church and not support it? I think that you can. It's a truth that you can give without loving, but I think it's also a truth that you cannot love without giving. I've got another question for you. If you do support this church, why? Why do you support this church? I know it's a fact. You know it's a fact that God not only sees what you do in this church, in your giving, and I don't mean just your money, but I mean in your serving, in your loving, in your helping, in all that you do and give, God not only sees what you do, but listen, He sees why you give it. I pray that you give and you serve because you love Jesus and you love His bride. If you just give because that's a tax write-off at the end of the year, you're giving for the wrong reason. I've had somebody say, well, you know, if they ever remove that IRS tax benefit, you know, I guess it's going to change my gift. Isn't that sad? Because you don't give because the IRS might give you a benefit. You give because you love the Lord God. That's why you give. If you give just because you agree with every decision your pastor makes, you're giving for the wrong reason. I'm glad you do, but you're giving for the wrong reason. If you give only because things are going your way, you're giving for the wrong reason. You should give to the church and serve in Christ's church because you love God and you love His bride. Can you say amen to that? And did you realize that if you withhold from God's church, you're withholding from the Lord God as well? And first and foremost, you're withholding from Jesus. When you quit giving to the church, you quit giving to Jesus. When you refuse to serve the church, you refuse to serve Jesus. Now, where do I get that idea? Folks, I get it right out of the Word of God. Do you remember Saul when he was persecuting the church? You remember the Apostle Paul, right? You remember his name before he became Paul. It was Saul. And when Saul was persecuting the church, it says that he was on the way to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus struck him down with a great light, and he asked Paul, or at that time, Saul, a very interesting question. Do you remember what it was? Acts chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus called out to Saul, and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, Saul was persecuting who? The church. And yet Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Listen, when you persecute the bride of Christ, you're persecuting Christ himself. Also, you may recall in Matthew chapter 25, verses 44 and 45, is kind of the last verses of a particular event that happens in heaven. When we get to that great white throne judgment and everybody stands before God, and God is going to say, you know, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Well done, my good and faithful servant, for you did all these things. Enter into the glory of the Lord. And then he's going to say to others, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, what do you mean? Didn't we do this and this and this? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not visit me. You did not. And it says that that person's going to ask and say, Lord, when did we see you in all these places and did not minister to you? And what did Jesus say? He says, whatever you did not do for the least of these, listen, my brothers and my sisters, you did not do for me. Can there be any mistake then that when we minister and love the church, that we're loving Christ Jesus himself? Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He says, any love you give, any service you give, or any service or love that you don't give or refuse to give to the church, you're refusing to give to Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you don't love your church like you ought to, what's he saying? You don't love me. Now, how many of you love your children? You got children. I'm not saying they're always acting right, but how many of you love your children? Do you really, 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 really love your children? Now, if somebody down the road starts beating up your child and is ugly and mean to your child, does that bother you, or do you just go, ah, let them fend? No. Listen, we kind of get our hackles up when somebody's mean to our kids, right? Men, do you love your wife? I pray you do. If somebody is mean and abusing her, do you get your hackles up? Does it bother you when somebody's mean to your wife? Listen, if somebody came to you and said, you know, I like you just fine, but I can't stand your wife. More likely be the other way around. When the guys, if somebody came and says, you know, I just love you, but I hate your husband. Can we live with that? Do we fellowship with that person? Do we hang out? No, we don't. Listen, dear friends, you cannot love God and not love his church. I didn't say you like everything they do, because you see, the church is full of sinners. It's full of folks who mess up. From the pastor down, we are sinful. But understand this, we are still the bride of Christ. And if you do not love the bride of Christ, you do not love the Lord your God. Now, some members are like the four-year-old that I heard about. There was a four-year-old who found his mother in the kitchen, and he came in and he grabbed her hand and looked up and said, Mommy, I love you so much. I love you so much, Mama. He said, when I get older and when I get big, he said, I'm going to buy you a fur coat. I'm going to buy you a diamond ring, and I'm going to buy you an expensive car. He says, oh, honey, that is so sweet. He said, I'm going to do it. Well, time went on, and the very next day he got into trouble because he was doing something he shouldn't have. And his mama scolded him, and he looked right back at her and said, there goes your fur coat. I'm afraid that there are some folks in the church that are like that. First time the church makes a decision that they don't agree with, or the first time that somebody does something that isn't exactly according to their rules, there goes my tithe, or there goes my service, there goes my attendance. You know, we really need to get back to what David said there in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 3, the one reason that you give, the one reason that you serve, and that is because I have set my affection on the house of God. In other words, I love His church. Do it because you love Jesus. No matter what offering you're giving, dear friends, whether it is singing in God's church, whether it's playing in God's church, whether it's making sure the sound is right in God's church, whether it's making sure the lighting is right in God's church, whether it's teaching in Sunday school, whether it's giving of your gifts of money, whatever it happens to be, folks, whatever you do, do it because you love the Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, our church is like every other church in the world. 100% of our church members are willing. Some of them are willing to work and give, and the rest of them are willing to let them do it. Sometimes when things go undone in our church, it's because nobody's willing to do it. You remember that story about those four people? The four people that were named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Some of y'all know this story. In other words, the story goes like that. There was a really important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody was going to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Folks, the question is, are you a part of the everybody that's waiting on somebody? When God touches your heart and moves your heart, do you know when it is He wants you to move about what He's touched you about? Right then. He doesn't say, I'm going to move your heart, so in 6 months from now, I want you to start serving in this capacity, or I want you to start giving in this capacity. Whenever God moves your heart, that is His timing for you to be obedient. Be obedient in the moment for God. The third blessed beatitude this morning is, blessed is the member who faithfully and lovingly attends God's church. One of my favorite scriptures, and probably one of yours, is Psalms 122, verse 1. Now, it's a different location from David, but this is attributed to King David as well. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, what? Let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, folks, if we would just get up on Sunday morning and start quoting that and believe it on our way to church, what a different place church would be. Amen? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, do not forsake the assembly of God's house, not just for you, but for others. In Hebrews chapter 10 is that very well-known passage. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, and let us consider one another. Wait a minute. That means that we're considering other church members. That means we're considering people outside of my immediate family, the folks, the members at the church. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do not forsake the assembly of God's people. You know, somebody said that some people come to church only 3 times in their life: when they're hatched, when they're matched, and when they're dispatched. There was a guy that was laughing at the funeral when the pastor had finished all the entire funeral. He reached down and he grabbed some of the dirt. You remember, you know, they used to do that more often than they do now. And they would throw the dirt in the coffin and say, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And as the pastor threw dirt in on top, one of the guys in the group started laughing. The pastor said, what's so funny? He said, I just thought about it. He said, every time my buddy came to church, the pastor threw something at him. Water the first time, rice, and now dirt. Folks, that's a sad thing, is it not? I never cease to be amazed at the excuses that people give not to come to church. I read an article. This was literally in somebody's hometown newspaper, and they brought me a copy of it. And it said there on the middle of the page, it was outlined out, and it was margined, and it was bordered, and it says article. And it said, "Pastor quits going to sports." I said, "I can't help but read this." And it listed the reasons why the pastor said, "I'm going to quit going to sports." Number one, he said, "Every time I went, they asked me for money." Oh, that's funny. Come on. Maybe it's not so funny to you. He said, "I quit going to sports because I went to many of the games and the coach never came to visit me." Three, that coach made a decision I didn't like. Four, mom and dad forced me to go to the ball games when I was young. Five, some of the games went into overtime and I had to wait to get into Luby's. Number six, there were hypocrites there. Some of those people didn't really love the game. So the pastor said, "I'm quitting sports." Listen, I thought, how can I not share this with you? Those are the top six reasons that I hear that people quit coming to church. The last one, I quit coming because there's hypocrites there. So what should you say to the hypocrite line? What are you going to say? Boy, my papaw, I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I was with my papaw, my grandfather, my mama's mama, and we had gone by his store, and a man came in, and he said, "Hey, so-and-so, man, it is good to see you." He said, "Man, I miss seeing you at church." He said, "Why don't you come on back?" And I'm listening to this, and this man looks right at my papaw, who happens to be a very blunt man, and he said, and his nickname was Mutt, by the way. Yes, Mutt, like the dog, Mutt. And he said, "Mutt," he said, "I quit coming to church because of all the hypocrites down there." And my papaw looked right at him and said, "Well, so-and-so, you're absolutely no bigger than the person you hide behind." I went, "Papaw." Now listen, I don't recommend you use that one. It's true. But I don't recommend you use that one. Listen, there's another response, and this is the one I hope you'll use. And that is when somebody says, "I don't come because there's hypocrites at the church." You know what you need to do is confess their rightness. And just say, "Yes, you're absolutely right. There are indeed hypocrites at the church." But remember this, would you please? The church is a spiritual hospital and a spiritual school to minister to all people. Would you help them to remember that? The church on earth is not perfect. There's no perfect people in our church, not a one. But there are indeed some awesome and wonderful people. Please don't judge the whole barrel by one or two bad apples. Amen? That's a good response, I think. I heard the story about a preacher that visited a farmer, and he invited him to church. He said, "You know, I'd love for you to come join us at church sometime." And the farmer looked right at him, and he said, "I'm never coming to your church." And he goes, "Well, why not?" He goes, "Because I know some hypocrites down there, and I'm a lot better than they are." So the preacher said, "You know, okay, I understand that, and you're probably right. But," he said, "before I go, I'd like to ask you, could I buy a pig?" And the farmer said, "Sure. What kind of pig do you want?" He said, the farmer said, "I want the ugliest, the smallest, the sickliest pig you've got." Farmer looked at him and said, "Okay." He went out there and found what he wanted. He gave him exactly what he asked for. And he said, "Now, preacher, I got to ask you, why do you want a small, sickly, ugly pig?" Preacher looked at him and said, "I'm going to take this pig all around town, and I'm going to tell people that you're the one who sold me this pig." And the farmer said, "Preacher, that ain't fair. That ain't fair at all." He said, "Now, preacher, I've got a lot more pigs that are bigger and better and much nicer than this one." And the preacher smiled and handed him his pig back and said, "So does the church. So does the church." Amen? Never let a hypocrite keep you from church. Now, I'm preaching to the wrong crowd. You're here this morning.
But I pray that if you ever get there, don't let a hypocrite keep you from coming to church. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. I thank God for His church. I love God's church. I love my church. I love it enough to give it my loving affection. I love it enough to give it my loyal support in whatever is needed. I love it enough to give it my faithful attendance. Do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with that? Then I'm going to ask you to ask God to help you with that love, because His is the love that counts. Listen, our love fails. Amen. That's why some people see hypocrites in the church. And if anybody's looking, they can find one. All you got to do is look, because we're all, every one of us, sinners. And we all fail God at some time or another. But if you struggle with this, if you struggle about your love for the church, ask God to give you His love for the church, because love, real love, is from God. Amen? 1 John 4, 7 and 8 tells us what to do. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And he who does not know God does not love, for God is love." Amen? Friends, I was driving around the neighborhoods, as I also often do, going to visit folks, and I saw a sign in somebody's yard, and I hope it wasn't your house, because you'll understand. I saw a sign in the yard, and the sign said, "I'm gorgeous inside." Have y'all seen that sign? Nobody's seen that sign? It's a realtor sign. It says, "I'm gorgeous inside." Well, I was really quite surprised, because that house was pretty old and plain. It didn't really look that nice on the outside. It was even drab. And I thought, yeah, right. You see, what I saw on the outside seemed to forecast what I would see on the inside. Drab, plain, old. But that sign, dear friends, that sign encouraged me to believe that there was something more, that there was something beautiful and more valuable about this space and this house that I could not see from the outside, that I could not appreciate from the curb. Are you listening to me? I believe that Grace Point and the church at large is much like that house. We may, at first glance, when we look at it, seem unremarkable and maybe even drab. Maybe just a regular gathering of ordinary people committed largely to an invisible mission as far as a lot of people are concerned. We are singles. We are married. We are young, we are old, we are male, we are female, we are unemployed and overworked. We're all of those things. A lot of us, when we sing off key. We may not be much to look at. We can't even clearly articulate sometimes what our faith is all about. We struggle sometimes to do that. And even when we want to, we stutter over ourselves. And yes, we openly confess that every member of this church is a sinner. And people looking in from the curb may see more flaws than good. But just like that sign said, I can't help but think that this is a new motto for me. I'm beautiful on the inside, because I see God's church. And God's church has more beauty and more value than we could possibly see from the outside looking in. But we're to try. We're to try to let people see and know what is on the inside. This imperfect body houses and is a temple of the living, loving, perfect Lord Jesus Christ. I may not be so beautiful on the outside, but with Jesus, I am beautiful on the inside.
We're an ordinary church, people. But we're much more than what we seem from the outside. How about you today? How about you? Do you truly and honestly love your church, God's church? Then tell somebody what God has done for you. Tell somebody about the beauty on the inside. Amen? Through your testimony, someone might come back home to church. Through your testimony, someone might meet Jesus for the very first time. Because as you've heard it said many times, you may be the only Jesus that somebody sees. And after they give you an excuse, after you tell them, come and see what Jesus has done. Come and see what Jesus is doing. Come and see the beauty of the inside. If they give you that excuse, you know what to say. Not the one about that Papaw gave. But would you give them the one that says you're right. But don't forget, we're a hospital of love for those who are spiritually sick and a school for those who are growing and want to grow. If they give you an excuse, you know what to say. But even long before we get there, dear friends, could we pray for them? Would you pray for them right now? Join me in prayer, won't you? God, I am so thankful that no matter what people see from the curb, that your church at Grace Point is indeed beautiful on the inside. God, would you help us to reach those that are on the outside? Help us to reach them, Father, with your message of love. And Lord, if it takes service to care for them and help them and to love on them, Lord Jesus, by all means, give us the ability to serve. And Lord, I pray that when they do look beyond the doors, that they would see how we love one another. God, yes, Lord, we are sinners. And there are times we all act like that sickly pig. But God, would you help us to do better? To love you and love one another, because you said that they will know that we are yours by our love for one another. Help us to reach those that need to return. Help us to reach those, Lord, that need to come to know you. Help us, Father, to give them your message of love. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.